Good afternoon. This program is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. On today's program, coming up, I'll be talking with University of Illinois faculty trombonist Elliot Chazanoff. He's giving a recital with a number of his faculty colleagues tomorrow night at the Kraner Center in Urbana. We'll hear some samples and hear a bit about how he transforms some pieces into trombone works when they didn't start that way. But first on the program, I'll be talking with a Vermont-born and Brooklyn-based singer-songwriter, Anais Mitchell. She is coming to the Canopy Club in Urbana tomorrow night to open up for another singer-songwriter, Patty Griffin. And we'll start the program with one of her songs from her next most recent album here on Live and Local.
When he said that he liked my cut of hair, I became a barber. When he said that my scent was all de fleur, I became a perfumer. When he said that he liked the clothes I wore, I became a tailor. And I sewed a party dress in and out and in and out, with a needle and a thread, in and out and in and out. In my head the thought of him, in and out, in and out.
That's a song called Taylor from the CD Young Man in America, came out in 2012 by Anais Mitchell, who is a singer-songwriter who has gotten a lot of recognition lately. She's coming to our area tomorrow night To open for Patty Griffin at the Canopy Club in Urbana. The show starts at 7:30, I think, and then doors open at 6:30. She's my guest this portion of Live and Local as she's on the road to Bloomington, Indiana, where she's playing tonight. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
So your name was the first thing that interested me because I've only ever seen it once before in the writer Anais Nin. Is that a coincidence?
Yes, it's not a coincidence. That's my namesake. And my parents were fans of her writing. And I had read a bunch of her books when I was young because I sort of felt like I had to check her out, you know. So I read most of her diaries.
And did your parents tell you why she picked that name? Why her?
Well, my dad is a writer and was an English teacher, and so I think, you know, he liked the idea maybe of naming me after a literary figure, and she was also kind of a feminist in her day. I mean, certainly breaking the mold of what women were doing back then.
And do you think that she's had an influence on you other than the name?
Wow, that's a good question. When I was younger, I definitely think so. I mean, her diaries are really beautifully written. They're just these descriptions of her life in Paris in the 30s and the kind of the people that she was hanging out with and the thoughts she was having, and they're incredibly detailed and very sort of carefully and exquisitely poetic, but it's just her journal, and I kept a journal when I was young, I think probably partially under the influence of her, and perhaps it did have sort of something to do with me starting to write songs, and especially when I first started writing songs, and I was very influenced by a kind of powerful, emotive female singer-songwriter generation that was happening around then, like Annie DeFranco was a big hero of mine, and Dar Williams, and eventually Patty Griffin, you know. So that was the sort of how can I turn my own life into something poetic? So maybe Anais Nin had an impression back then.
Well, your songwriting has been described in various ways, of course, and among them poetic and being sort of exquisite storytelling. And the song that we opened with from the album Young Man in America, I've only heard a little bit of the album, but I guess a lot of narratives about relationships between children and parents.
Yeah, there are a lot of stories on that album, and storytelling has certainly always been a really inspiring part of writing songs for me, and I think why I was drawn to folk music in the first place. And the young man stories are a lot of different characters on there. Obviously, there's the young man in America, and a lot of the songs are from the point of view of men. But then there's also that song Taylor felt like really like a woman's story when I wrote it, and a very sort of personal, just a story about this woman who's sort of remaking herself in the image of, you know, at first she's trying to impress this man, and then she's sort of trying to spite him, but both times she's really she's not in touch with who she actually is, what her own desire is.
Is that sort of song and your songs in general self-exploratory, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm kind of hiding in all of those songs. Although a lot of times the experience that I might be describing, I wouldn't say they're true to my life, but feelings I've had or, so emotionally they're true. And then in the details is where the sort of make-believe comes in.
When you sit down to write, well, first of all, do you sit down to write, or do songs just pop into your head from anywhere at all, anywhere where you might be anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, both things happen. I think a lot of times the initial the initial idea or inspiration kind of comes out of nowhere. And a lot of times that happens on the road, you know, and there's not really time to sit down with a pen and explore where it might go. But the kind of a melodic idea or like one line will come, and then hopefully I can remember it and down the line, you know, put some time in on it. But it's funny that to talk about process, because I remember when I started writing that song, Taylor, it was about something completely different. And it was just there was just something in the melody that wouldn't leave me alone. And I just watched this movie, There Will Be Blood. You remember that, with Daniel Day-Lewis?
I know about it, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's a very dark story and about the oil industry and this one particular character within it. And I remember seeing these images of these big oil rigs with the you know how the arm that goes in and out of the earth to pull I don't even know the language for it, but to pull the oil out of the ground. And that's where that image of in and out and in and out, it came from, these big oil machines. And initially I thought this was a song that was about oil. And so I started writing it that way. It started to go in a field. And then I just sort of, I don't know exactly how it happened, but it took this turn, and then it became about something entirely different. And a lot of times in writing, I think that it's hard to let go of the initial idea, but sometimes a song has its own plan, and you have to sort of follow it into the labyrinth.
You mentioned a few other particularly female singer-songwriters, Ani DiFranco and Patti Mitchell, and you've, I guess Ani DiFranco was one of the people who quote-unquote discovered you, I guess, and signed you up for a record label. And then here you are touring with Patty Griffin.
I know. It's a dream come true on both fronts. Kevin, I'm a little, I'm wondering if you can hear my daughter in the back seat. We have a little six-month-old girl in the car seat right next to me making some sound.
Oh, I can hear her. That's not much, and it's okay. A little
good,
child
okay.
Squeal will go along with our child ballads discussion in a moment.
Okay, great. So, yeah, I mean, I listened to Ani DiFranco starting from a very young age, and she was probably one of the biggest reasons I picked up the guitar in the first place. And so to eventually get signed to her label was really a dream come true. And I got to do a lot of touring with her and sort of get to know her crowd, which is very, very loyal. And actually reminds me, in a way, of Patty Griffin. I'm on tour right now supporting Patty Griffin, and I've also been a fan of hers for years and years, and some of my early songs were influenced by some of her songs. And she also has this really just very passionate fan base, and her crowd is very respectful for the opening set. And so, it's been great.
You're young man America, a certain amount of that having to do with relationships, and I'm just kind of wondering if how relationships have worked in your career, because you know you've opened for a lot of people, you've performed with a lot of people, you've recorded with a lot of other people, including some of the folks you've had guest appearances with, and then on your new recording called Child Ballads, it's all with a fellow musician, Jefferson Hamer. Do I say his name right?
Yes, you did. That's right.
So how have relationships with fellow musicians shaped your career?
I mean, I've always felt that the sort of collaborative efforts creatively, and also just the knowing people, having comrades in music that are also writing songs or also making records, is so inspiring. And that you sort of keep the wind in each other's sails in a way that you might not have the heart to see a project through with just you in your bedroom, you know, doing the whole thing. And there are definitely projects I've done, like Hades Town, I think you were talking about, was a very collaborative project from the get-go. You know, it worked initially with my friend Michael Chorney in Vermont, who who did the arrangements, the sort of orchestral arrangements, and then this director friend, Ben Matchstick, and we had this kind of DIY theater version of Hadestown, which was where that opera initially came from. And then we later, those guest singers appeared on the album, and really everyone who touched the project at different times, I think, brought a little more life to it and sort of kept it going a little further. And so that was a great lesson for me in collaboration. And then the Child Ballads record you're talking about was a complete co-arrangement. It was Jefferson and I met a few years ago, and we sort of realized that we both were into the same sort of overseas old folk music from the kind of the Celtic and British Isles, and we decided to make a record together and sing all the songs in like close harmony. And that's a record that I'm sure I wouldn't have made had I not met him, and we sort of got excited about it enough together to make a record.
Well, let's listen to an example of it, and then I have some more questions about that for you. This is from, I'm talking with Anais Mitchell, who's going to be at the Canopy Club in Urbana opening for Patty Griffin tomorrow night. And this is from her latest CD called Child Ballads with Jefferson Hamer. Here's the opening track. It's called Willie of Winsbury on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
The king has been a prisoner and a prisoner long in Spain. And Willie of Winsbury has lain long with his daughter Jane. What ails you, what ails you, my daughter Jane? Why you look so pale and wan? Oh, have you had any ill sickness? Or yet been sleeping with a man? I have not had any ill sickness, nor yet been sleeping with a man. It is for you, my father dear, for biding so long in Spain. Cast off, cast off your robe and gown, stand naked on the stone, that I might know you by your shame, if you be a maiden or a nun. And she's cast off her robe and gown, stood naked. Prisoner in Spain. No, it wasn't with a lord or a gentleman or a man of wealth and fame. It was with Willie of Winsbury. I could bide no longer alone, and the king has called his servant. Hanged he shall be. And when they came before the king, name, no wonder the king he said, let my daughter's love you did win. If I were a woman as I am then, in my own bed you would have. Much land so she can ride in a long summer's day.
Willie of Wernsbury, the name of the song, Aeneas Mitchell and Jefferson Hamer performing from the CD just out last year called Child Ballads. She's going to be at the Canopy Club tomorrow night. So child ballads sounds like it's about children, but it's actually named after somebody who collected these songs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's the collection is named after the collector, and that's Francis James Child, who was a professor at Harvard, and collected all these songs at the end of the 19th century. And was it the 19th century or the 20th century? I'm pretty sure end of the 19th century, but the songs are much older than that. They're, you know, thousands of years old, some of them, and they're just these epic folk stories. A lot of kind of kings and maidens and unwanted pregnancies and some supernatural stuff, fairies and shipwrecks and things like that.
Did you? How did you make the selections from what must be a huge collection?
It is a 305 ballads in the Child collection, and but a lot of them are similar, you know. And there's like a whole chapter of Robin Hood songs, and they're arranged in a sort of songs that seem to be about the same type of story will be categorized together. And for each song, there might be, you know, a dozen different versions of the same story and different melodies and things like that. So as a if you're arranging that music, it's really great to have the child text because you can just pick and choose between different stanzas, you know, different lines that seem to tell the story better or roll off the tongue better or whatever. And the songs we chose, there's only seven of them, but they're all quite long. So you know, it is a full-length record, even though there's only seven songs. And we tended to choose, I think at first we chose songs that we just had fallen in love with existing versions of. You know, we both are big fans of Martin Carthy and Nick Jones and Andy Irvine and Fairport Convention. And so some of the songs we did, we had already learned versions that we loved, and so we didn't change them that much, you know. We made them our own in small ways, but then as we got deeper into the project, we started to take more of a free hand and maybe made up our own melody for a couple, or did some serious editing of the story. And then when I look at them as a all as a group, I think that they're mostly their love stories. You know, they're stories about lovers who have to overcome kind of great trials and tribulations in order to be together, and sometimes they win and sometimes they lose, but they're very passionate stories.
And again, to some degree, about family, I guess, too.
Sure. Sure, yeah. Well, the classic tale is of the young woman who gets pregnant out of wedlock and then has to win the father of the baby. So there's a lot of female main character, a lot of heroines of these stories.
We're going to go out with another one from Child Ballads. This one is called Clyde Waters. What's the story behind this one, as far as you know?
Yes, well, this is a tragic one. It has an alternate title, which is The Drowned Lovers, not to give away the ending. But it's a story about a young man, Willie, who tells his mother that he's going to go and visit his sweetheart, Margaret. And his mother says, "I'd rather that you didn't go." She's jealous, kind of. And he says, "Well, I'm going to go anyway." And she tells him that she's going to put a curse on him, that if he goes to visit Margaret, that he's going to drown in the River Clyde. And he rides off anyway, and he gets across the river the first time by making a deal with the river. He says, "Make me a wreck as I come back, but spare me as I'm going. So just let me get to Margaret's house, and you can kill me on the way back." And he gets to Margaret's house, and he hears a voice coming from behind the wall, which he thinks is Margaret's, but it's actually Margaret's mother, who also is kind of who opposes the union. And she sort of sends Willie away. And then Willie rides off, rides into the river, falls off his horse. Margaret wakes up, realizes what's happened, goes to find Willie, and they drown together in the River Clyde. So that's the story of Clyde Waters.
That's a wonderful ballad. And there's something about Willie in this record. You got Willie of Winsbury, Willie's Lady, and then Willie shows up here. Does he show up in some of the others?
I know. There's a lot of Willies. I'm not sure what that's about. There's just certain names that sort of crop up a lot in the ballads, and Willie is definitely the front runner.
And I've definitely heard ballads involving Margarets as well over the years.
Yes. That's a popular one, too. Sometimes there's a Janet. There's a couple Janets and a couple Thomases.
And is it safe to assume that some of the Child Ballads will show up tomorrow at the Canopy Club?
I could do one if you requested one, Kevin. but for the most part, I'm doing my own songs, especially because I'm not traveling with Jefferson right now. And we really arranged those songs for two voices and two guitars, so it always feels a little funny pulling them out solo.
Okay, well, we've had one of your tunes, and we're going to go out with Clyde Waters, one of your renditions. This is with Jefferson Hamer from the album Child Ballads, which has gotten some nice awards and nominations and so on. Anais Mitchell will be opening for Patti Griffin at the Canopy Club in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7:30. The show, the doors open at 6:30, and you can get more information about her and explore her albums. The easiest way to find her is really on Facebook and then explore from there. Thanks very much for joining us on Live and Local today.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Great to talk to you.
Willie stands in his stable door and he's combing his coal black steed. And he's thinking of fair Margaret's love, and his heart began to bleed. Mother, fetch my hat and coat, help me tie them on. I'll away to fair Margaret's bower before the night comes on. Stay at home with me, dear Willie, tonight there comes a storm. I'll lay the table handsomely, your bed be soft and warm.
Your tables, mother, and your beds, they cannot bring me rest. I'll away to fair Margaret's bower before the night is past.
If you go to fair Margaret's bower, my curse will go with thee. In the deepest part of the Clyde water, drowned you shall be.
The good steed that I ride upon cost me thrice 30 pounds. I'll put my trust in his swift feet to take me safe and sound.
He's rode over the high, high hill down the dewy glen, and the rushing in the Clyde water would have feared 500 men.
Roaring Clyde, you roar so loud, the streams are wondrous strong. Make me a wreck as I come.
He came to fair Margaret's gate. He's called to her within. Rise up, Maid Margaret. Rise up and let me in. Who's that stands at my garden gate, calling Maid Margaret's name? It's only your first love, sweet William. This night come to your home. Open the door, Maid Margaret. Open and let me in. My boots are full of the Clyde water, and I'm shivering to the skin. My stable is full of horses, William. My barns are full of hay, and my bowers are full of gentlemen. They'll not remove till day. Fare thee well, Maid Margaret. Fare thee well, adieu. A curse my mother laid on me for coming this night to you. He's rode over the high, high hill, down the dewy glen, and the Russian in the Clyde water took Willie's hat from him. And he's leaned him over his saddle bow to fetch his hat again, and the Russian in the Clyde water took Willie's coat from him. And he's leaned him over his saddle bow to catch his coat by force, and the Russian in the Clyde water took Willie from his horse. The very hour this young man sank down in the watery deep, then up in rose Maid Margaret, out of her drowsy sleep. Come here, my mother dear, I've dreamed a dreary dream. I dreamed my lover was at our gate, nobody let him in. Lie down, Maid Margaret, your lover's come and gone. The sport you'd have made with him, I've played it for my own. Nimbly rose she up down to the river's brim, but the louder that this lady cried, the louder grew the wind. The very first step that Margaret took, she stepped up to her feet. And oh, when alas this lady sighs, your water's wondrous deep. And the very next step that she went in, she's waited to a knee. So she, I would wait farther in if I, my true lover, could see. And the very last step that she went in, she stepped up to her chin. In the deepest part of the Clyde water, she found sweet William in. You have had a cruel mother, Willie. I have had another. And now we sleep in Clyde water like sister and like brother.
A tragic ballad called Clyde Waters from the CD Child Ballads by singers Anais Mitchell and Jefferson Hamer. And she is going to be opening for Patty Griffin tomorrow night at the Canopy Club in Urbana. Doors open at 6:30. The show starts around 7:30. My guest this portion of Live and Local on FM 90.9. We have support today from the Spurlock Museum in Urbana, hosting Heirlooms, Artifacts, and Family Treasures, a Preservation Emporium by the UIUC Preservation Working Group on February 8th. Learn how to keep your precious memories safe for future generations. Details are available at 244-3355. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. And my next guest is on faculty at the University of Illinois School of Music, longtime trombone professor Elliot Chazanoff. And he's going to be giving a recital in competition with Anais Mitchell's program, also tomorrow night, 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana. And he's got a number of colleagues joining him on that concert. And furthermore, he'll be playing a couple of different types of trombone. Lots of things to talk about. Elliot, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much.
We had one of your colleagues, Mark Moore, Mickey Moore, on the program last week. He just did a recital and a lot of collaborations, and you were playing on his.
Absolutely.
And I know that Jonathan Keeble's doing, he's the flute professor, and he's doing one at the end of this week, and he's got some other colleagues on his. Is it sort of a tradition, coincidence, or what, that you guys are working with each other on recitals right now?
I think it's mostly coincidental, but one of the great things about being on such a wide and varied faculty with wide and varied experiences and different genres being performed is that that enables us to explore more unusual repertoire and also become more familiar with the musicianship of people we don't work with every day. And I think that's what's attractive about it. It's a lot of fun.
I know on past recitals, you've focused on things for trombone and piano or trombone and sometimes in transcription, sometimes not. We're going to talk about arrangements and things in a minute. This program has some really interesting collaborations. Of course, first one just with piano, so that's not unusual, although what it is in an arrangement. More about that in a minute. But then you're doing a piece by Eric Wazin called A Summer's Journey with a soprano and piano, and then your closing piece, trombone, viola, and cello. Do you have to, I mean, are all these pieces you're doing in the program well-known among trombonists, or are those things you had to ferret out?
The Persichetti is very well-known. Trombonists are always looking for other combinations, mainly because trombone and piano is perhaps not the most effective combination of sounds. Trombone actually works better with organ than it does with piano. Unfortunately, there's no big pipe organ in Krannert, so that limits that a little bit. So we're always looking for other combinations, and the Persichetti piece has been around since I think 1964. So this is the 50th anniversary of its composition, and it's very challenging. It's a lot of fun, and it's great to work with my colleagues.
Before we hear a little bit about that piece, I'm kind of intrigued by your comment about trombone not working with piano so well. Why is that?
It's totally tone quality, timbral matching. It just doesn't. It sort of hangs in a register where it conflicts with the piano an awful lot. Trumpet is oftentimes well above the piano. Tuba oftentimes well beneath the piano in terms of register and tone quality. But the trombone sort of hits right in that wheelhouse where it conflicts a lot with the tone of the piano and the overtones, just because of its position and its sound relative to the keyboard.
Does trombone work better for organ because organ has so many other sounds available to it?
Absolutely. Yes, that's absolutely the truth. And there are many, many wonderful works for trombone and organ. I've gotten a chance to do that in the past. I did probably 20 years ago on campus. I did a recital at St. John's right on campus and did an entire program for trombone and organ. And it's a very powerful combination. But trombone and piano just somehow, the timbres, the tones just don't lock in together that well. And that's odd for somebody who's a trombone player to say, but I sort of get tired of listening to just trombone and piano. So that's, I'm always exploring rep to find things that are other combinations that are interesting.
Well, let's listen to a bit of the opening of this piece by Vincent Persichetti. It's called, I guess he's written a lot of serenades for different instruments. This would be serenade number 6.
Right.
And this again for trombone, viola, and cello. You'll be playing it with your faculty colleagues, Rudolf Hakan on viola and Dmitry Kuzov on cello. Here's a recording with the trombonist. Is it Nico Schipper?
Right.
Any idea who else he's playing with?
I think they're members of the Concertgebouw Orchestra in the Netherlands. Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam.
Yes.
It's called a prologue, the first movement. Anything to say about this other than give it a listen?
His writing is at times very Copland-esque, at times very, very Hindemithian, just very, very interesting language. I think it's not what you're going to expect in that combination, I don't think.
And at the end, we'll hear a bit of the last movement, and they're quite contrasting in
right.
themselves. But the prologue from Persichetti's Serenade for Trombone, Viola, Cello. The prologue, which begins the Serenade No. 6 for trombone, viola, and cello by Vincent Persichetti. And by Serenade No. 6, that means the sixth of his serenades, not necessarily for that combination of instruments. Nico Schipper was the name of the trombonist in that recording, and it's going to be played by Elliot Chasnoff, trombone, with faculty colleages tomorrow night at the Krannert Center. The recital will start at 7:30, and that piece will close the program. We'll probably hear, I think we'll be able to hear the final movement to close out this program, which is live and local here on FM 90.9. Elliot Chasnoff, my guest, this portion of the show. You mentioned that trombone, piano, not the greatest combination tonally, but the piece you open the program with is a piece that begins for piano solo. And so you've arranged it for alto trombone and piano. So a few questions around that. Does the alto trombone fit better with the piano than the tenor trombone, which is what most people know as a trombone?
Right. I think slightly better, just because it's a slightly higher range, slightly higher brighter quality of sound. So I think as a result, it probably does sit a little better. And the main reason I chose piano as the vehicle for the collaboration in this piece is that it was originally a solo piano piece. It was from Mendelssohn's Songs Without Words. So again, the first half of the program ends up being sort of aligned with vocal music in one way or another. And this was Mendelssohn's attempt to write music that was vocal but without words for piano. And so I extracted the melody, worked on the key, and came up with that combination. The problem for alto trombone is there isn't a lot of music other than some late 18th century concertos and some 20th and 21st century music. So there's not a lot to do to play that's romantic on alto trombone. So I've been trying to expand the repertoire a little bit with some pieces, recital pieces that are very accessible to the audience from the Romantic period.
Is the alto trombone similar to the tenor, except it's just smaller?
Right. It's smaller. It's pitched in E flat, so it's very much similar to a single E flat horn. It's the same range.
I remember I'd never even seen one of those before until I saw you play it many years ago, and it almost looked like a toy. It's so small. But it allows you to, I guess a lot of orchestral music written specifically for the alto trombone, usually people don't play it on that, although I've seen you do that.
It's coming back. In the 70s and 80s, American trombonists didn't use alto trombones virtually at all. It's never gone away in Europe. You hear, if you heard a recording of a European orchestra from any period you want to choose, there's always an alto trombone if you're listening to Beethoven or Brahms, Schumann, Schubert. There's always a part for alto trombone. These days, it's starting to come back because it gives you that color, that brightness of color that is missing on a tenor trombone.
Well, let's give a listen to this particular Song Without Words by Mendelssohn in the version, the original version, which is just piano solo. There's a subtitle here, The Poet's Harp.
Right. I think you'll hear in the writing, in the arpeggiation, the repeated arpeggiation, I think you'll hear the sound of a harp. And in fact, I've also performed this with harp. And it works incredibly well, and it gives, again, a slightly different nuance, a slightly different color, and I'm always looking for that.
Here's pianist Daniel Adney, music by Mendelssohn on Live and Local.
Thank you.
Daniel Odney playing the song Without Words by Felix Mendelssohn in E major. It's Opus 38, number 3, to be specific, but nicknamed the Poet's Harp. And it's going to be performed by trombonist Elliot Chazanov with pianist Yunjin Lee to open tomorrow night's recital at the Kranert Center in Urbana. That starts at 7:30. So I assume, Elliot, when you transcribe this, you basically take the song line out and give that to the trombone.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Do you have to do anything other than... you said you worked with the key, so you had to shift the key to make it a little more manageable.
Yeah, I shifted the key, and, you know, when you're dealing with piano music or vocal music versus trombone music, you've got to make some determinations about articulations, breathing. When I used to work with my late colleague Eric Dalheim, he would always say, well, a singer would definitely breathe here when we were playing vocal works with trombone and piano. And oftentimes I could do exactly what he wanted, but there were just as many times where I had to add a breath where a singer wouldn't breathe because it just takes a lot more air to fill up the trombone generally.
Less air on an alto trombone than a tenor?
Yes, yes. And that's a challenge in and of itself too, because you're used to taking these huge breaths and then you play an instrument that will not let you use that much air, so you get a little bit of a backup of air. You know, you end up with stale air in your lungs. You know, if you talk to trumpet players who play piccolo trumpet, they have that problem all the time.
So, and oboists.
Oboists, definitely.
Comically have that problem.
Yeah.
Because when they stop to breathe, they're really stopping to exhale.
Exactly. Waiting to exhale.
That was a movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a good name for a movie.
Haven't seen it. So that's going to open the program. And, well, I wanted to ask you about arrangements in general, because I was looking at your bio earlier here, and you've got a collection in Belgium of the Elliot Chazanov Brass Series. Did you really have to go to Belgium to find somebody to publish them? Because I've heard some others, and they're wonderful.
Yeah, they asked me. They approached back in the day, the Illinois Brass Quintet did a brass festival in Belgium, and the publishers heard many of my arrangements and transcriptions on the concert, and they approached me immediately about, would you be interested? Because we'd like to expand into the brass area more, because they were mainly known as a woodwind and wind band kind of publisher. And so they said, would you be interested? And I said, absolutely. You know, so that's sort of how that started, and it's turned into a really nice friendship.
You said the first part of this program, which has two pieces, the Mendelssohn, which is, of course, a song without words, and then the music by Eric Iwasen called A Summer's Journey, has a vocal theme to it. And, in fact, Summer's Journey is for soprano, tenor trombone, the regular trombone, and then also piano. Wonderful poetic titles, The Stars in the Grove, The Linden Tree, Ocean Calm, and Spring Dream. What's the background to this piece? There must be one.
Yes, Iwasen is very enamored with Schubert. And Schubert, of course, used poetry by great poets like Goethe and Mueller and all these famous German poets. And what he did was he took German poetry that Schubert had set and set it in a new language, in a more modern language. And in fact, this is called A Summer's Journey. There are two song titles that were originally from Winterreise by Schubert, which is Winter's Journey. I believe the Frühlingstraum, which is Spring Dream, and I think the Linden Tree might be from that Winterreise as well. So he's trying to almost do a new take on Schubert. And the interesting thing is there's a very famous example of Schubert using French horn, voice, and piano. And that's, is that Auf dem Strom?
Yeah.
So the model for it is there. And he just wanted to sort of give his own take on it. The thing I like about it is where Schubert can be very brooding and very melancholy. Eric Weisz's music is much more optimistic, uplifting, and positive. And I think very appropriate for the weather we're having, especially the Frühlingstraum, you know, dreaming of spring.
Although the one we have here is actually ocean calm.
Right.
No ocean out there other than an ocean of white. And it's just gonna get worse or better, depending on how much you like snow. And this is a rehearsal recording with your colleagues. So it's Yvonne Gonzalez Redmond, the soprano, yourself, of course, on trombone, and then Yunjin Lee on piano.
Right.
Beautiful piece. It's called Ocean Calm. It's the fourth of five pieces that make up A Summer's Journey by Eric Weisz. And that's from rehearsal. You can hear tomorrow night's live performance of the complete work. Elliot Chazen off trombone with soprano Yvonne Gonzalez Redmond and pianist Yunjin Lee. That recital starts at 7:30 tomorrow night at the Krannert Center in Urbana. Elliot Chazenoff's been my guest this portion of the show. And I hope weather clears out enough for folks to go hear you. It certainly should. The forecast says it should by tomorrow night, I think.
I think they have room to park sleds over at Granite, too. So.
Above or below.
Yeah.
This is Live and Local. Our programs are made possible with the support of the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. This is 90.9 WILL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WILL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.